All right. Well, as the kids go, just a couple of other things that I wanted to share. See, buddy. Keep going. She's got you. See, bud. Love it. I just totally messed up where my train of thought was. Kids are great, aren't they? I love it. Oh, that's where I was. Just to let you know of some different things, tomorrow morning here at our church, Mrs. Melk, who is founding member of this church, and just love and appreciate so much, she passed away last week, and her service is going to be here tomorrow. Feel free to be part of that and come out and be here for that, and the service and stuff is on our website, and so you can check things out. But it's the viewings from 10 a.m. to noon, and then the service is at noon. So we'd appreciate your support there for the family, and certainly be praying for the family through this time. She just has a legacy about her. And she and her husband did so much to make this church happen back in the 60s, and just really appreciate all that she's done, and just a great woman. So that's for tomorrow. Coming up, there's some other things. In your bulletin, one of the other things that I try to read each week, and last week I totally missed it, but Kudos Corner, church, last week you made me feel so absolutely encouraged by, and most of you didn't, or some of you didn't know what was going on. We had a really weird service last week, yes. It was an awesome service, let's put it that way. And if you didn't catch it, then you missed out. And I try to do weird services as much as possible because I want you to never be comfortable with just coming, sitting, and doing nothing. I want you to grab as much as possible from God's Word and apply it. And today's going to be weird, too, just to let you know. So anyway, thanks so much for being an encouragement to Melanie and myself last week. The Oreos, I've gone through a couple packs of Oreos already this week. I'll go on a diet once they're all done, but then it'll be Christmas time, so I'll start all over. Anyway, but thank you so much, and some people just blessed us with some money for that, totally out of the blue, unexpected. And so last Monday, I planned on having a family day anyhow. They were off of school, and so you gave us some money. So we're like, hey, let's go see these grounds for sculpture thing. Never been there before, and so we were able to do that. Had a great day and went out to eat and stuff. So it was an awesome day. So church, thank you. Thank you so much for being a blessing. It was Melanie's birthday last week. After the service, Matt comes up to me. He says, why didn't you say it's your wife's birthday? What's wrong with you? You lousy, filthy, no good, rotten husband, you. It was almost like that. I might be a little bit dramatic at times, but they also had some flowers for her that they were going to recognize and sing to her after the service, and I totally messed everything up last week for those that were planning those things. So it was her birthday last week, so I won't embarrass her and have us sing this week, but we can say happy birthday, happy belated birthday. She's 29 years old, just in case you're wondering. And in a few weeks, I've been invited to be part of this conference that a friend of mine, Pastor Cliff Freeman, his kids come on Wednesday nights to the Pier 252. Gotten to know him and his wife over the last couple years here, and just really excited for them and their ministry. He asked me to be part of this Fire in the Fall. You'll see this next week. We'll have some bulletin or some flyers out for you for this, and so I'll be speaking on the Wednesday night, but most of you will be here, so you won't have to come and endure me preaching. But the other couple nights, he's invited our church to be a part of that and come out and just celebrate together and be challenged and fired up in the fall. And so that's coming up November 12th, 13th, and 14th. So put that on your calendar and be part of that if you could. And... oh, and last week, I didn't mention the Lafferty's. Just want to say Kudos Corner to them. They brought a whole bunch of extra donuts for everybody to make things comfortable downstairs. Thank you. Thank you. And you don't know this, but they often, every week just about, they're bringing donuts for people just to be a blessing. And the weeks that they're not here, I think Joyce grabs some donuts as well. And so just thanks. You guys make it very special here. And whoever cleaned up the black tarp from last week, thank you, because I was supposed to do that and I forgot and I remembered at 10 o'clock last night. All right, but it's not here, so thank you. Okay, anyway, all right. I think we're in the book of Exodus. Yeah, we are. So if you open your Bibles there with me, Exodus chapter 14 is where we're going to be. If you don't know where Exodus is, it is in the Bible, the second book of the Bible, and it's literally the word just means exit, to exit. Okay, and it's a history of Israel and how they're exiting out of slavery. And so if you're pulling it up on your phone or if you want to grab a Pew Bible, you're welcome to do that. And it's just the second book, you have Genesis and then Exodus. And so we want to dive through this, and we're looking at Israel's history and seeing how this applies to our lives today. And what we glean is that God works in different ways throughout all generations, or it works the same throughout all generations as we go through different things. He's still the same God. And that's what we're gleaning from. So today, I want to talk about de-stressing stress. De-stressing stress. Is anybody stressed out today? Okay, there's like half of you. How many of you are too embarrassed to admit you're stressed? I was just checking. Okay, good. Stress is part of life. And stress comes in many forms. So taken from the U.S. Library of Medicine, here's signs of stress. They include these things. And there's a whole list. Okay, this is just the beginning point. Apathy, a lack of energy. It's Sunday morning. I must be stressed. I have no energy. Difficulty making decisions. Difficulty keeping track of things. Feeling on edge. A change in eating habits. Sleeping more than usual or difficulty getting to sleep. Being more emotional. Or using alcohol or drugs to relieve or forget stress. These are signs of stress. And I would pose this and say, how many of you have more than three of these going on today? But I won't go there. Here's the reality. All of us deal with stress. Some are stressed today. Some just got through a stressful time. And some are about to go through a stressful time. Fair enough? So we all deal with this. And so the question that I want to address this morning is how do we de-stress? And I would love to say, look at me. I'm the example of no stress. I'll just go to God's word because it gives us some instructions for no stress. How's that? Or how to deal with de-stressing. So we're in the book of Exodus, and we're going to glean through some things here. And just as we're understanding the context of what is going on here, the reality is they've just gotten out of slavery. They've gotten through the 10 plagues, and God has freed them from being slaves there in Egypt. And so they're on their way out of Egypt. The last plague just happened. The firstborn son died. Pharaoh is sitting there and just kind of mourning his son's death, and so is everyone else. And Israel then is leaving, and it's a million to 2 million people, rough estimates say. And so you'd see this huge group of people leaving Egypt, leaving this country. And it's clear that God has set them free. You would absolutely see this. Through the 10 plagues, you would see God did this. This wasn't anything that Moses or anyone else contrived or came up with. It wasn't their plan. This was all 100% on God. And here, just kind of time out moment. How big is God? How big would God have to be to cause the 10 plagues? Have you thought about this? The last couple weeks, we talked about these 10 plagues, the darkness, the locusts, the flies, the gnats, and the firstborn son. All of these 10 plagues show how big God was. He turned it on, he shut it off, in a sense, and each one. So God, then, is leading, and we're in Exodus chapter 14, and he speaks to Moses, and so you can kind of see the million or 2 million people walking out of Egypt, and they're getting all of their possessions and everything as they're going out of Egypt, and as they do, God speaks to Moses. Says, Lord said to Moses, verse 1 of chapter 14, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but Pihatharon, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. Why there? Well, he's taking them there because on the opposite side, they would immediately get into a battle with the Philistines or other nations. So he's taking them to this place. Now, what we understand is when you go to this place and knowing the season and the time and what's going on, this is an impassable place. They're cornered, essentially, as they get here because the Red Sea is going to be this huge place that you can't cross and survive. It would be like crossing the Delaware River at its peak and such. So, at any rate, that's where they are. So Pharaoh, in verse 3, says, "For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel," he's predicting, here's what's about to happen. "The wilderness," "they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And they did so. So here, the reality of what's going to happen for them, he's predicting, saying, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and I'm going to have glory and over Pharaoh. Everyone's going to know that I am the Lord. End of the story. So Moses understands something's about to happen. He doesn't know all the details, but he knows something is about to happen. So verse 5. "When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said," now stop, he just told them, leave. And now that he knows, oh, they really did leave, I didn't really mean that, his heart is hardened, he's angry about this, and his mind is changed toward the people. And they said, "What is this that we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us. We let all of our labor force leave. We can't do that." So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over them. Now if I were to, I could do a whole message on this, these two verses right here, just to kind of, oftentimes when we exit and exit away from the things that's holding us back in addiction kinds of settings, where we say, I know I shouldn't be doing this, and we say, okay, I'm making a break, I'm going to do the right thing, oftentimes there's a temptation that draws us right back into that, and we have to be careful of that. That's where Pharaoh is, and so there's a whole message in a sentence. Anyway. So he took 600 of his chariots with him and all the other chariots of Egypt and the officers over with them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea by Pihathron in front of Baal Zephon. If you're Israel, where's your stress level? If you're in the doctor's office and the doctor says, where's your stress level today? And he gives you a chart of 1 to 10. Where's their stress level right now? The Red Sea's behind them and you got the army in front of them. How many would be out of 5? 8? 12. Yeah, right? The stress level, you're looking and you're like, I'm carrying all of my belongings. I'm carrying my whole life. I don't have any way to defend myself. My back's up against the Red Sea. This is a horrible place. You've never felt cornered, have you? You've never felt stuck. You've never felt this way, have you? Where life just turns on you and you just feel like there's no way out. I am stuck. My enemy's pursuing me. I'm stuck behind, like there's no way of moving behind me financially, relationally, or educationally, whatever it might be, where you're just like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do here? Stress levels are just, you are doing fine. You had a great day yesterday because, yeah, we're free, and you're doing the happy dance. Woo-hoo, we're getting out of Egypt, and here we go, and you're thrilled, and I don't know how you do your happy dance, you know. But anyway, and you're doing a happy dance, and you're going, and all of a sudden, you turn around, and Pharaoh and his army are right there. How do you respond? Because there's four responses to this. Four responses to this. Okay? And so that you can remember, I'm going to give you some illustrations that go alongside of Winnie the Pooh. How many of you have watched Winnie the Pooh? Okay, good. Do you know, there's some people that never raise your hand in church. Just saying. Here's the first one. The first one is exactly what we would expect and probably what many of us would do. And I'm going to call this Piglet. Piglet the overdramatic. Here, show the video of this.
Oh, dear, I'm a goner.
You act like I'm going to cook you for dinner.
Aren't you?
Why, of course not.
Oh.
I'm going to give you a bath.
Oh, dear.
Now, there's always two things you get after your bath. A cookie and a kiss. Piglet.
Now, Piglet, when you know anything about Winnie the Pooh, Piglet's the one that's always freaking out. He's overdramatic about everything. He, she, it, I don't know what it is. But overdramatic about everything and just kind of going crazy. And here's what we understand. A lot of people, when they get into a stressful situation, you get like Piglet. You're like, ah, you're going to cook me. No, no, I'm giving you a bath. Ah, you know, and that's kind of where we are and where Israel is. Israel, as they're on the other side of this position of we're closed in behind and the army's coming at me, here's what they do. It says that when Pharaoh drew near the people of Israel, they lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. It's like they're flipping out. They're freaking out like, ah, I can't believe it. Israel's going, and they're turning to each other like, oh, you know, and they're going nuts. And some of us are like that. When things don't go right, the first thing is like, oh, I'm pulling my hair out. I can't believe this. This is horrible. What am I going to do? And that's where you stay. It's the first reaction to stress. And some of you say, yep, I'm Piglet. That's who I am. And I want to identify where you're at with stress. What do you typically do? So they just react. They freak out. While in fear, then, here's the funny thing. They cry out to God, it says. They feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. You see the context of what happens next, and I would say this is not a humility of God. We need your help here. It's not, let's get down on our faces before God. God, you brought us here. There's no trust. There's no humility. I would say this crying out to God in context would be, I'm angry with you, God. Yeah, I'll talk to you, God, but I'm going to let you know that this situation, this circumstance just stinks. I don't deserve this. I deserve something different. It wasn't supposed to go like this. And you're angry with God. That's what I take from this statement here. While they cried out to God, it sounds much more like I'm angry with. And some of us might be sitting there in anger today. I'm angry with God for who you took from me. I'm angry with you because they don't respect me. I'm angry with you, God, because no one cares about me. I'm just invisible. I'm angry, God, because things aren't turning right for me financially. I'm angry, God, because I didn't get this promotion. I'm angry because, and you just fill in the blank. I'm angry because I'm stuck in a life I don't want, essentially. And that's where Israel is. They're stuck, and they're angry with God and crying out and saying, you know, just crying out to God in that kind of a way. They're Piglet. They would rather, here's what they're essentially saying, they would rather have a status quo life where God is not present and God is not doing something. It's fascinating. But then the conversation shifts and they open up their mouths a little bit more and you see what they say to Moses, and this exposes their heart, which takes me to the second response. And so this I'm going to call, this is Eeyore the downcast. Here's a clip.
Good morning, Pooh Bear.
If it is a good morning, which I doubt.
However, yeah, now, did I get your tail back on properly, Eeyore?
No Turn matter. Up. Most likely lose it again anyway.
Poor dear.
You know, I may have just the thing.
Up, up, up you go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tail, Kanka. Much nicer than the rest of me.
It's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it.
Not much of a house. Just right for not much of a donkey.
Might take a day or two, but I'll find a new one.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
Isn't that great? Some of you, some of us, are like Eeyore. And this is what happens with Israel. They get in this place, fear greatly, and then it shifts away from fear into Eeyore. You know, they're despondent, they're downcast, and here's what they say. They say to Moses, and they don't say this once, they say this several times throughout this book of Exodus. They say, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? I mean, you could hear it in Eeyore's voice. If I could mimic his voice, I would do it, you know? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Like, we told you. We told you. Look, the other shoe's going to drop, and it just did. We know it. It always does. It never works out for us. We told you that it wouldn't work out so well for us. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. If you just left us to die there, if you just left us in Egypt, like, things would have been better for us. They didn't see any hope, and they assume the worst in the situation. That's Eeyore. There's an assumption that this is the worst ever. It will never get better. And no amount of good things can help this person to be positive. Can we just put time out here? When Israel's saying all of this, don't you see what they just forgot? It wasn't too long before that. I mean, the past 9 months about. They've watched 10 plagues come and go to free them to the point. And they saw it. They knew what was happening. Like, okay, God said this is going to happen. Really? This is going to be awesome. I'm getting my popcorn. I'm going to watch. And they watched the hand of God move time and time and time again for the last 9 months to the point that they put blood on their doors to protect their own homes so that the firstborn son would not die. I mean, the weirdest thing ever. Blood on your door, really? Okay, that's what God wants us to do? Okay, we trust God. And in that moment, they did, but it didn't take long. It was hours later that they're saying, Moses, you're just an idiot leader. You brought us out here to die. What's wrong with you? You just should have left us back there. We were better to serve. It's interesting to me that there's some Eeyores that there's just no amount of good things that can help them to be positive. There's a reframing that needs to happen within the mind. If you're an Eeyore, here's what you're saying. You ready? Because I've talked to a couple Eeyores in my life. What you're saying is, but Pastor, that's just reality. I'm just telling you what's really happening. And I would argue slightly and say, that might be your reality, but that's not God's reality. But let's just move on. So then there's number three, which is really fascinating, because as you go down further, they just complain to Moses, and you see Moses' response, which I'm going to call Moses Winnie the Pooh. He's Pooh, and he's Pooh the Composed, okay? So here's a video to help you understand what I'm saying.
It looks like rain. Tut, tut, it looks like rain.
Christopher Robin! Oh, bother. I think I shall come down.
I'll catch you, Pooh. Hurry, come on, the bees!
Christopher! Christopher Robin, you never can tell with bees.
Good stuff. So here's Moses' response. He says, in verse 13, and Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." And here's what I see. I see Winnie the Pooh is composed. I see Moses is composed. As Winnie the Pooh is up in the air and it's not looking good, he's just kind of in a composed kind of setting, just, "Christopher Robin, oh bother." You know, he's just very composed on the outside. You don't know the stress is happening, impending doom's about to be there. It's just, "I'm composed and I've got it all together, and hey, Christopher Robin." And that's where Moses is. He's composed and he's saying, "Listen, just fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you and you only to be silent." Now, you say, "Well, yeah, he is composed. There's no stress going on inside of him." I disagree. Verse 15 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me?'" See, what's going on the outside is Moses is composed. He's got it all together. And on the inside, he's not so composed. He's crying. And God sees his heart and says, "Hey, listen, I see what you got going on the outside. You're very composed. You're working through it. I get it. And you're reminding them of the things that need to be. I get it. That's fine. Why are you crying on the inside? Why are you all over the place on the inside?" It's kind of like a duck, right? You ever see a duck go across the water? You don't even see it moving hardly. It just glides. It's so composed. But underneath the water, those little feet are going a million miles an hour to keep them going, right? That's Moses. And that's how a lot of us handle stress. It's, "I'm going to be composed on the outside to deal with the immediate thing, and on the inside, I'm going, oh, I'm crying on the inside." It's just a response. It's Winnie the Pooh. It's kind of how things go. Here's the fourth response, and here's the interesting thing. This is God's response to stress. I'm going to call this, pardon me if it sounds a little messed up, but I'm going to call God Tigger. Okay, you'll see why.
"You know who he is, so let's go meet him."
"Glad to meet you. Name Tigger, T-I-double-G-R. That spells Tigger. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tigger the wonderful thing. The tops are made out of rubber, the bottoms are made out of spring. The bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun. But the most wonderful things about Tiggers is I'm the only one. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful chaps. They're loaded with vim and with vigor, they love to leap in your lap. They jumpy, bumpy, clumpy, thumpy, fun. But the most wonderful things about Tiggers is I'm the only one. Tiggers are cuddly fellas, Tiggers are awfully sweet. Everyone else is jealous, and that's why I repeat. Oh, the wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful things. The tops are made out of rubber, the bottoms are made out of spring. The bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun. But the most wonderful things about Tiggers is I'm the only one. Cheerio!"
So I'm going to call Tigger the self-assured one. Because he is, isn't he? "Look at me, I'm Tigger, I'm bouncy, and I can't do it." But you understand how this goes, right? And that's where you see God. God is self-assured. He does not need the assurance from anyone else. He is self-confident. He has it all together. He's not worried about it. Maybe he's not bouncy, oh, what fun. But he's self-assured. He does not need the assurance from other people. He does not need Moses to look at him and say, "Hey, listen, God, you're doing a great job." Israel says, "God, man, so glad you brought us here. Don't know what's going on." He doesn't need all of that. He is self-assured and saying, "I got this. I know what's going on. And these things are going to happen." You remember what we read it already. "For my glory. So the world can see. So Egypt can see. So you can see that I am God." How many of you today need to see God? Think about this. In your stressful situation, we oftentimes pull back and say, "Man, I just don't know where God is in all of this." And here's what God's saying. I'm doing this to show you that I am God. And this is fun, fun, fun. You follow me? He's self-assured. It seems to me, this is why Tigger seemed appropriate. It seemed to me that God was excited to show up. So here's God's instruction, and this is where, you know, you can identify the different things that you have here, and none of us are self-assured. We cannot be God. But what we can be is we could be Piglet or Eeyore or Pooh, however you want to look at it. And sometimes, as I observe life, I think sometimes we're a mixture of all three of those, aren't we? Where I was Piglet, and now I'm Eeyore, and now I'm Pooh, and I'm back to Eeyore, and back to Piglet, and it's just all over the place sometimes when stress happens. I think that's normal. And that's why a message like this is needed. Because we get stuck in our stress. And I don't want you to be stuck in your stress. I want to help you to de-stress. And so here's what happens. You go forward to verse 15. It says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the people of Israel to do this. Go forward. Go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his hosts and his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know, here it is again, that I am the Lord. When I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen, so the most mighty man, the most mighty army, the most mighty things on earth do not compare to God, is what he's saying. And you need to see this, Moses. Israel needs to see this, and Egypt needs to see this. The world needs to see that God truly exists, and he is not putting up with this, and he's going to show up and take care of these things. So he says, go forward. Do you realize, can I just pause for a second? Here's what God did not do. God was not empathetic. I find in a lot of different times when people are going through hard times in Scripture, I find that God is not empathetic with them at different points. Sometimes he is. You see Jesus moved with compassion at times, and there's some empathy that you see happening at different points. But then there's other times where God is not empathetic. And I would suggest that God's not empathetic at this moment because they just watch God do all these things, and they should be trusting in God. But he's not empathetic. He says, tell the people to go forward. Which way is forward? Forward is not toward the Egyptians. There's no reason for you to fight with the Egyptians. Leave them alone. I've got your enemy. Don't worry about your enemy. And sometimes God tells you that. I've got your enemy. There's no reason to avenge yourself. There's no reason to defend yourself. Listen, I've got your enemy. You just worry about me and you. Go forward. Go forward toward the Red Sea, which was viewed as more impossible than Pharaoh. Do you see that? This was a bigger deal. Like, we're going to go that way? That's forward? Yes, I want you to go to the Red Sea. That's much more doable, in a sense. That's where I want to show how great of a God I am. So go the direction. Here's what I'm driving at. Go the direction that God is leading. If you want to de-stress, here's the first step. Go the direction that God is leading. Go the direction that God, that's very simple. It's okay, where does God want me to go? And here's how he directs him then. He says, use the staff and your hands and divide the sea. Which is kind of weird. If you're Moses, what did God really give to Moses? See, when I get into stressful situations, I'm looking for something huge. And God says, no, 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 I got something simple. It's something you already have. You just didn't know how to use it. Oftentimes, God's already given us the ability to work through the stress with what we have already in our heart. He's already given it to us in our life. He's already given us a friend. He's already given us the tools. He's already given us the resources. He's already given us what we need to get through the stress that we're doing. All we have to do is say, okay, I'm going to use what you've given to me. Could you imagine this? Okay, guys, we're moving forward. Which way? Red Sea. What? Watch this. If you're Moses, wouldn't you be crying on the inside saying, I'm going to lift up my hands and this water here is going to split? Wouldn't you be terrified? What if it doesn't work? I'm going to be so embarrassed. This is weird. Guys, this is what we're doing. Moses, you're a moron. Like, nobody's going through that. Yeah, just wait. Let me show you how big God is. This is what's going on. So he lifts up his hands, and I would imagine to his surprise, sort of. I'm just thinking it through my head. I'd be like, all right, I'm doing it. I'm lifting up what I have, what you've given to me, this tiny little, my little hands and this staff. This is what I'm doing, God, because you told me to do this. This is it. There's nothing huge. There's nothing. This is it. In order to de-stress, you have to use what God's given to you. We get stuck in our stress because we refuse to use what God's given to us. Sometimes we're like Eeyore, where we say, I'm staying stuck. It's a choice. God says, I want you just to do this. Well, that doesn't seem big enough, God. I've never seen that before, so that won't work. That's not real. Could you imagine the excuses that Eeyore would come up with? Could you imagine being Piglet or Pooh? All right, here we go. I'm just going to raise my hands. Go forward. Use the staff and divide the sea. Use what God's given to you. And I think sometimes there's a great application within this, that sometimes we create more stress in our lives by trying to get out of the stressful situation with something that God didn't give to us. Moses could have turned around at that point and said, yeah, no chance. Okay, guys, get your swords and shields and start running that direction. He could have said all of that, but he didn't say that at all. I think sometimes wrote a couple examples. Relationships, they cause stress. And sometimes when someone confronts us, we fight back and try to prove them wrong or fight back in whatever way we feel like we need to. Sometimes I think change causes stress. Just change. I like things to be status quo in my life, don't you? Change can really be like a crisis. And so when faced with change, we do everything possible to keep things the same. We fight change. Don't change. I want it to stay the way it is. Crisis causes stress. What we share, and sometimes I find with crisis, what we do is we tell our crisis to everybody. And we think that's going to help something. That doesn't actually help. We do it on social media. We do it with our friends. And we're just kind of reeling. We're staying stuck in our stress by sharing our stress with everybody. And we're not actually moving forward. Or sometimes we self-medicate to deal with our stress. So here's what God's saying very simply. If you're writing notes, here's a simple phrase. Follow God. He's got this. Follow God. He's got this. That's the whole point of this whole thing. Follow God. He's got this. Use the little thing that God gives you. It could be a staff. It could be whatever God's given to you to follow God and know that he's got this. Go where God wants you to go. Don't get stuck in stress. Don't get stuck in stress. And here's the interesting thing that happens next. Verse 21. This is so great. I love this. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. I imagine his arms were trembling a little bit. And the Lord drove back the sea. How? By a strong east wind. What's it like to have a strong east wind around you? The other day, the winds, they're like 50 miles an hour gusts and stuff like that. I think it was on Wednesday night. Some of us were here, and it's like, man, it's windy. How windy would it have to be to blow the Red Sea open? Whew. Yeah. Now we're talking. So he says he drove back the sea with a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. It's like he just reads it like, yeah, this is what we did. It's so cool. And the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So I look at it and I'm like, this is kind of like a tornado, you know, times 10 or whatever. And it's holding the waters back. And they're maybe in the eye of the storm walking through the sea. I'm just picturing this. One of the Egyptians, they pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and all this. And then their chariots get clogged in the mud and the water comes in and then it kills those that are in there. Here's something to note. While they're in a highly stressful situation, God brought a storm to bring them out. Oftentimes, while we're in a stressful situation, God brings a storm to get you out of that stressful situation. This storm was way bigger than them, but while they were in the storm, God protected them. While they were in the storm, they didn't even know it was a storm, hardly. They're just watching at what God was doing. There's a cloud over here that's holding the Egyptians back and a big fog that's going on. And then God's leading them through this and the waters are open. God often brings storms into our life during the stressful times to bring us through that stress. And all we have to do, it's so simple. How do you de-stress stress? Follow God. He's got this. That's it. Now, some of you hear what I'm saying, but you've tuned me out a long time ago, right? Some of you are sitting there like, yeah, that's nice, Pastor. Because you see your situation as impossible, and you see God as impotent. And I want to challenge that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says to them, hey, listen, you need to comfort others with the comfort that you've given. The God of all comfort has comforted you through all kinds of hardship and pain. And here's what we see in Exodus. They're writing out for us the things that God did so that we can look and say, God's not impotent. God is all powerful. God is the God of the impossible. And whatever stressful situation you may be in right now, God's got it. So follow him in the small little steps that God gives to you. Follow him in the big steps, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be grandiose in order to follow God, but where he leads, follow. I would just simply say, get to stepping, right? Get moving. Don't just sit there. Don't stay stuck in your stress. And verse 30 is awesome. It says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power of the Lord used against the Egyptians, so that the people feared the Lord, they believed in the Lord, and in his servant Moses. And chapter 15 is a song of Moses, where essentially, and we're going to close with this during the offering, where essentially he says, oh, happy day! God saved us! Some of us, I want to talk about something else, and then we'll close. Some of us, you're sitting here and you're saying, yeah, I get this, Pastor. Thanks for the reminder. I understand, and this is what I'm trying to do. Follow God because he's got it. I get that. But to be honest, I'm connected to someone who's stuck in the stress. They're constantly pulling me back into the stress, and that's all they want to talk. They're Eeyore, or they're Piglet, or they're Pooh, whatever it is, and I just see this around me, and it's hard, and it's frustrating, and what do I do? Well, here's what I think is fascinating. God didn't stop Moses to correct the thinking process of everyone. He didn't stop everything and say, okay, let's fix our thinking process. No, here's what God did. God said, get moving. And so that doesn't mean you ditch the people that are struggling. That means you don't stop. You just keep on going, keep walking forward, and by faith, God will show up when he decides to show up and take care of the things that are stressing you out or stressing them out or stressful in altogether. And I love the fact that God showed up when he wanted to show up. And he did things his way. Think about this. If God opened up the Red Sea with wind, how much wind would it have taken to destroy the Egyptian army? So while the people were there, as they feared, God could have done something totally different. They could have cried out to God, and all of a sudden, as they're just starting to be a piglet, or they just start talking about being an Eeyore. And Moses just gets up to talk like he's poo or whatever. And just as God could have showed up with a wind before anything else, and all of a sudden, whoo, just blows him out. Could you imagine? All the chariots, right? If God could do that to the Red Sea, he could certainly do that. And here's what God's doing. God's saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. I want to do it this way so that you can see that I am God and I've got you. So, in order to de-stress stress, follow God. He's got it. It's too simple. Yep. But that's it. That's what the gospel is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I got this. But the world is so wicked. This is impossible. God, he's like impotent. He's not doing it. And Jesus shows up and he comes in human form, lives on this earth, and he dies at the hands of people, but he gives his life freely. But then he rises again the third day, showing that he is the God of the impossible, showing that he is greater than everything, greater. He is more powerful than sin. He is more powerful than death. And then calling each one of us to pull ourselves to him, knowing that he loves us and calls every single one of us to turn to him and to believe in him and to say, I'm all yours. So the question really at the end comes back to us as to where are you at with your stress? I'm sure there's some more Winnie the Pooh illustrations we could come up with, but that's it for today, right? Are you trusting in God? Have you come to a point in your life first where you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he's already accomplished for you by paying for all of your sins on the cross and paying for that relationship with you so that you can have a relationship with God? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And then to go beyond that and continuing in that same mode of understanding who he is and how powerful he is, are you trusting him in the stress that you're walking through today? I know, we've got Piglet moments, or we got Eeyore moments, or Pooh, whatever it might be. I get that. But are you turning to him and saying, okay, God, I'm stressed, but show me what to do next. And God, I'm trusting your timing. You're not fixing it today, but I'm going to trust you. Maybe it's tomorrow. It's not the way I would have thought. You would have blown him out, but no, okay, God, you've got it. Okay, God, I'm just going to keep trusting you. That's what it is to walk with him. Each and every day. So let's close together. Let me pray for you. Lord, stress is part of all of our lives. It is so challenging to go through this life and to be cornered, to be stuck. But God, you are bigger than every stressful moment. And you know why stressful moments come. So Lord, help us to follow and trust you. Lord, help us to take the step that you've given to us. Maybe it's a kind word. Maybe it's a moment of asking forgiveness. Maybe it's doing something generous. Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, would you show us what that first step is? And Lord, help us not to stay stuck. Lord, help us not to look at our situations and push you out while acknowledging your existence, Lord, but yet pushing you out. Lord, help us not to be there. Give us strength. And Lord, I pray that we would see victory and see you triumphant as the people of Israel did, in small ways and in big ways, as you show up and you show how great you are. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.